Bless your wonderful hearts and lives. Today is Sunday, January 12th, 2020, and we're still working in your position in His kingdom. And this is part two of our sonship benefits. What would you not do to gain entry to the kingdom of God? I would be the doorkeeper, said the psalmist. I would be a foot washer for His disciples, or perhaps find a position among the lowest state of His handmaids. Well, there's no need to fret, for God already has a position set for you in His kingdom. Remember when the children of Israel went into the promised land, they had already had marked out, this tribe is going to live here, this tribe is going to live there, and this tribe, their land is going to be over there. So, and it worked out pretty good. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, regarding man, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." The word likeness means representation. God is spirit. He doesn't look like man. That does not mean God looks like a human being. That's not the meaning. It's not a mirror image, but it's a representation with His gift of Holy Spirit, because God is spirit. Spirit is invisible. It has no form or comeliness. Doesn't look like a man, you know, have gray, frazzled hair. I think I'm going to invent something this morning. No, it's man is made in His image, which is spirit. And when we get born again of God's Spirit, when we confess Jesus as our Lord and believe in our hearts God raised Him from the dead, we get His gift of Holy Spirit within us. Now I want to go into Psalm chapter 8 to set forth God's position for us in His kingdom. It says in Psalm 8, verse 1, "To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Who has set Thy glory above the heavens?" Verse 2, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." Well, the enemy is the devil and the devil spirit realm. "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings." You know, we see ourselves, I'm a 70-year-old man. But as far as God's concerned, I'm a babe and suckling. I'm still, you know, something that He has to keep an eye on and watch over. "And because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy," make him still, "and the avenger," and the one who's listened to Him and believes the wrong things and attacks the believers. Verse 3, "When I consider the heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and stars which Thou hast ordained." You ever go out on a night when the city lights are not as bright, and you look up at the sky and there's stars all over the place? Mm-hmm. Or if you have a telescope and you get to look through a telescope at the Milky Way, it's just awesome. You're just astounded. How in the world did all those lights get there and they stay in place? "What is man that Thou art mindful of him?" You know, you look at the mountains, you look at the ocean, you look at the rivers, you look at the land, and then you look at man and you say, "What is man that Thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that Thou visiteth him?" Well, this word "visiteth him" doesn't mean He's coming down to wreak havoc upon you. His visitation is always to bless mankind and to set things aright for the believing ones. Verse 5, "For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor." The word angel in Hebrew is the word malak, M-A-L, apostrophe, A-K, malak or malak. Angel is found 192 times in the King James Version. But verse 5 of Psalm 8 doesn't have the word malak. That word, although it's used 192 times, it's not used in Psalm 8, verse 5. That word where it says angels is actually the word Elohim. Elohim is the Hebrew word for gods, plural. Infinite, all-powerful God who shows us by his works that he is the creator, the sustainer, and supreme judge of the world. Angels are really mighty and powerful. We can look at some of the capabilities of angels. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. And in verse 1, it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Well, verse 2, "And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And then it goes on in verse 3, "And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled." That's the millennial kingdom, speaking of the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ when Christ returns. That's what's going to happen. The adversary, the devil, the dragon, is going to be taken and he's going to be put in the bottomless pit and he's going to be sealed and he's going to be shut up. He won't be able to harass humankind anymore. He'll be shut up. And he's called the great accuser of God's people. So the accusations won't be flying around because he'll be shut up, quiet, locked him in the bottomless pit. And after that, he must be loose for a little season. But he'll be down there for a thousand years, and that's the millennial kingdom of Christ when that will take place. Well, here's what angels can do. They can grab Satan by the scruff of the neck and chain him up and put him down in the bottomless pit, put his foot on it and stomp it down and put a seal on it so that he can't open it. There's no way he can get out. And no way that he can give directions to the evil spirit realm to attack people's lives and cause corruption and cause all the problems and wars and all that. What do you think the children, if they can do that, what do you think the children of God can do? Well, we certainly don't need to be afraid of the devil or devil spirits or under their power and compelled to kneel before them. But the scriptures do not record that we are a little lower than the malak, the angels. Could man be so honored to have God Almighty choose man to serve him in such a marvelous station? Is that our noble ranking in his sovereign dominion? Well, actually, it says he made man a little lower than himself, Elohim, crowned with glory and honor. Crown means to be encircled with. Glory is God's manifested power. The children of God will be encircled with an abundance of splendor and honor. The psalmist David knew this wonderful truth. He knew it was Elohim. Perhaps it was translators that couldn't believe that something so magnanimous and the appointment of God could be so grand that he would put us a little lower than himself. And so they said, well, we can make it something else. Let's make it angels, a little lower than the angels. That would be great. Well, that would be great, but that's not where God appointed us. That was not where God's vision for us was. It was to be a little lower than him. God has the ability to create. Elohim is generally translated when it's talking about God created. And he made us a little lower than him. We will be able to do everything Jesus Christ did, and Jesus Christ is not God. And we will not have the ability to create, as far as I understand. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 is a great record. I want to read through these verses with you so that we can begin to get a greater understanding. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Do you ever think that you would be a little lower than God?
No.
In assisting him and working with him? Did it ever come up in your mind? Eye hath not seen. You couldn't visualize. No man has been able to visualize, nor ear heard. Nobody's ever heard that. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And we do love him. And we love him more with each new verse we read as born again ones, and as the scriptures are revealed to us. And aren't you thankful that God has set apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that we don't have to be carried about by every wind of doctrine and tossed about, but we can know that we know that we know. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. These great hidden secrets. He reveals them to us by his Spirit. And isn't that wonderful that when we confess Jesus as our Lord and believed in our hearts, God hath raised him from the dead. We got born again of his Spirit. So we had a communication line with God, and he's able to reveal it to us. And the Spirit of God can take the Word of God and make it logical to our senses mind, which is flesh, so we can understand it. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. So it can help us, it can teach us, it can reveal it to us. Because it never come up in our senses mind. Wow, sometime I'm going to be working with God. I'm going to be in his kingdom, and he has a job prepared for me. He has a place set for me. I don't have to ask my mother like James and the sons of Zebedee. What is it, Andrew and James? Where their mother said, Lord, can you do this thing for me? Let one of my sons sit on your right hand. Let my other son sit on the left. We don't have to be embarrassed like that. He's already got a place set for us. He's probably got a name tag on it for us, so we won't miss it. You know, you go to dinner sometimes, and they have a little nameplate where you're going to sit. So you just look around for that nameplate, and you know, nobody says, I wanted to sit over here. I wanted to sit over there.
Got a place for you to sit.
But he's got a place already for you at the table. Is it available for humans to read other humans' minds?
No.
Now, they show that on America's Got Talent all the time. They have some quote-unquote magician come in, and he says, here, I want you to open up this piece of paper, and You know, this is what you were, you know, if I ask you, what do you think of such and such? And then I give everybody out on the board their paper, and they open it up and they see, wow, it's this, it's that. And no, it's not available for men to read men's minds. A lot of times men don't even know what's going on in their own mind. What were you thinking about? Duh, I don't know, nothing. Verse 13, if you then be evil and know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that beg him? No, them that what? Ask him. Well, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to start reading here in verse 17 from the King James Version. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The purpose is, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, being filled with light, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We will know what the hope of our calling is. He's called us for a purpose, and we will know that. Now, in the New Living Translation. Oh, yeah, you have it there for me. Thank you. Ephesians 1:17. Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. This is Paul's prayer for us. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are rich and glorious, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Verse 19, I pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. We know where Jesus Christ is seated, at God's right hand. So, do you think God already knows a specific place for you? Mm-hmm. This wonderful gift has such great benefits that you can be so enlightened by this connection with God, it can be revealed to us so that we know, and we know our hope, why we have hope, and what our hope is. Looking back at Ephesians 3, verse 3, it tells us in the King James Version, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he, meaning God, hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Because there is a place that blame and that unholiness, that darkness, that sin actually originates. And I'm going to show it to you in a moment. But if you look at this word, the word foundation in the Greek can mean either to be cast down, as in an overthrow, or to lie down or lay down as in an establishment. You're going to lay this thing out. If you look at it from the perspective of an overthrow, explains what happened to that ordered universe in Genesis 1:2, when God created the heavens and the earth, and then it became without form and void. And darkness moved upon the faces of the deep. Well, God is light, and in him is no
darkness.
And when we confess Jesus as our Lord and believe in our hearts God raised him from the dead, we get that gift of Holy Spirit. We're born of God. So is there darkness in us?
No.
No. that was before the fall. His choosing of us, God's choosing of us, was before the fallen Lucifer's rebellion. And a lot of theologians, if you read theologians, they believe that what happened between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, Lucifer and one third of the angels, and if you look in Revelation, it talks about Lucifer and one third of the angels, or talks about the dragon and one third of the angels rebelled against God. There was rebellion in the heaven that caused all of this mess. And according to Psalm 8:5, we are a little lower than Elohim, not a little lower than the angels. If we were, we would be lower than Lucifer. We would have been lower than the evil spirit realm. And that's not his position for us, not in this world right now, nor in the future. God's plan is so perfect and executed so precisely. He meant what he said and means exactly what he said. And there's a purpose for everything he says. And that's why we can be strong in our hope, because we're not lower than Lucifer. We're not lower than the angels that followed Lucifer in his rebellion. We're not lower than the rebellious ones. And we're not even lower than the glorious ones that kept their place. According to Psalm 8:5, we are a little lower than Elohim, the creator. It's no wonder that in Corinth, Paul reminded the beloved ones when they were taking each other to court and going before court, before the unbelievers, so that they could get judgment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, if you'll go there in the King James, it tells us, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Well, how would we be able to judge angels if we were a little lower than them? Doesn't it show you how brilliant God is? God's positioning for man in eternity is far greater than any man could even think about. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he," meaning God, "has chosen us." He's chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, before the ordered cosmos, or the cosmos, the ordered universe, that we should be holy and without what?
Blame.
So he chose us before Lucifer's rebellion. So we were chosen so that we would be without blame. If you look at the word foundation as from the perspective of an overthrow, it explains what happened to that ordered universe in Genesis 1:2. It became without form and void. God didn't create it that way. Do you ever say to your family and your children, "Hey, let's go on vacation. I got a great place for you. It's without form and void." No, you don't do that. You take them to Disney World, or you take them to something that's extremely orderly and very precise. God's choosing of us was before the fallen Lucifer's rebellion. Lucifer and his evil accomplices were the cause of the chaos and destruction in Genesis 1:2. And denominations talk about the original sin. Of all things in the world, that's the one they latch onto is the original sin and point to Adam. But Ezekiel tells us about Lucifer. It's in a figurative illustration if you go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Verse Verse 16, it says, by the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. And thou hast what? He's talking to this particular king, and it's used figuratively as an illustration to represent Lucifer and the rebellious ones of that make up the evil spirit realm. Therefore, I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. God cast out Lucifer because thou hast what?
Sin.
That's the original sin. That was before, we were chosen before that in God. So we want to talk about the original sin and lay the original sin on us. Now, Adam did sin, but he was not the original sinner. The original sinner is the one that spoke to Eve and deceived Eve. So what do you think his merchandise is? The word merchandise means trafficked in. What do you think he traffics in?
Lies,
deception. Yeah. Mm-hmm. False words. Well, this is the original sin committed by Lucifer and his cohorts in treason against the kingdom of God. You know, it says he accuses the brethren day and night before the very throne of God. Well, what do you think he was accusing, what he accused among the evil spirit realm, the one-third of angels that joined his coup? It wouldn't be right out front. It would be, you know, very subtle. Yeah, I know. God's great. He's wonderful. I realize he's really good. You know, God is good. And he is light. But there's more that we can know. Just like he did with Eve. Mm-hmm. Didn't God say such and such? You know, God doesn't want you to know this stuff, because once you know it, then you'll be at like God. You'll be as gods, knowing good from evil. Well, it's not that God didn't want them to know good and evil. He just didn't want them to get their lessons from the evil source. So, you know, he comes in and he starts a whispering campaign. That ever happened to you at work? Somebody starts bad-mouthing somebody else in the company, so they, you know, thinking they'll get rid of this guy and they'll assume the position. You know, Joe's a great guy, but, you know, I wouldn't do that situation like he does, or he did. I wouldn't have spoken to somebody like he does. You know, we see it really in our culture, particularly when it comes to our president. I wouldn't speak to, look, he calls everybody this name or that name. You know, you can't trust him. He's, you know, he's great. He's wonderful. He's done a lot for the country, but, you know, I'll do you better. I would do you better. And so he traffics in these things, and whosoever mind is open to him, they fall. But our calling and our election was way before this. Remember, we were not an afterthought. We were God's first thought. In Genesis 1:1, when God created the heavens and the earth, he already had his man in mind. Let us make man and let him do this. Let him have dominion. Let him have authority. Let him have such and such and such and such. He already had this plan for man. So it puts us back, you know, if you look at the word foundation as from a laying down and setting up a foundation, you want a strong foundation, and it was already set. So maybe when Lucifer realized that God had, he wasn't next in line to God, He was full of beauty. He was full of power. And he found out he wasn't next to God. Then he caused all this havoc and traveling in these accusations. And once you start listening to him, you forget, hey, you know, we weren't just an afterthought. God didn't say, oh, Lucifer fell. So what to do, what to do, what to do? I'll make man in my image. I'll give him spirit and I will help him out. God already knew. He had called us way before that. He already had us positioned, what we were going to do and what we will do. Our hope is already set. It is a great hope. You know, you're not going to go and fill a position that you cannot do. He's not going to do that. But you will be so blessed with the position that you have. Our future hope is a glorious and wonderful hope. And we were an afterthought for God. We were his first thought in Genesis 1:1, when God created in the beginning the heavens and the earth. So we come even before the beginning. The beginnings were in light of what he had already thought about man and what he wanted for man. And, you know, you think about it, most men determine and decide that they want to, they start a business and they, you know, they somewhere in their mind, they picture Joe and Sons painting or Jerry and his daughters or grandchildren are part of this company. We were his first thought. God in his foreknowledge chose us by his love. Choosing us by his love is bigger and deeper than what we ever realize. In Isaiah 55:8, it says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. If we approach this verse in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, from the point of an establishment, it places our calling in Genesis 1:1, right in the midst of perfection, of a perfect creation. Do you think when God created the heavens and the earth, it was just sloppy, without form and void?
No.
Oh, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have put that there. Mm-hmm. No, it was a perfect creation. This confirms that his choice was not an afterthought in response to Lucifer's fall, but was his glorious intention from the very beginning. Man's position in his kingdom was not an afterthought. It was his first thought. He chose us in him before he even laid down the ordered universe. And when he had laid down that ordered universe, he laid it down with the thought in mind that which he had already chosen in him, which is you and I, to have authority and have dominion in his kingdom and serve in his kingdom under him. We should let the guilt and consequences of darkness and sin fall on whom their origins proceed. Who was the first sinner?
Adam. No, Lucifer.
Lucifer, yeah. And he is darkness, and in him is no light. And when he decided he wanted to overthrow God, you know, sometimes people say, oh, that's too nice. You're being too nice. And when you turn from light, what do you move into?
Darkness.
And the further you get from darkness, the further away you move from light, the darker it gets. And we ought to let the guilt and consequences of darkness and sin fall on whom the origins proceed, from the devil and the evil spirit realm that followed him into the darkness. Now we are the sons of God. And we have seen this morning, we have specific sonship benefits that lead us to and correspond with his choosing of us when he chose us before the foundations of the world, and his predetermined position for us in his glorious kingdom. He made man, he made me a little lower than himself. If you accept imitations, you will accept limitations. So don't accept the adversary's imitations. Next week, we'll look at the next aspect of the benefits of sonship, which will be fellowship. And we'll get into that. So bless your beautiful hearts. Enjoy understanding and thinking about God's position for us in his kingdom and the hope that's set before us. What a glorious hope it is. Bless your hearts.